Keeping Up with Oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Oil prices are around $137 a barrel this morning. Prices have seen a steep decline in the last couple days, but this morning the price of oil has ticked up on some worrying news from Iran. Still, today's move is not expected to totally reverse the recent drop in crude. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
Oil rose about a dollar a barrel on the news from Tehran. The Iranians claim to have tested some long- and medium-range missiles, including one that could reach Israel. But jitters about this are thought unlikely to change yesterday's fundamental shift in the market. Oil dropped $5 a barrel. That's the biggest single-day decline since the first Gulf War in the early 90s. Leo Drolis of the Center for Global Energy Studies says the penny has finally dropped. Demand for oil is bound to fall if the global economic slowdown gathers pace.
The general mood is getting more pessimistic, as it should be, actually, because oil at $150, as the market was testing, doesn't make any sense at all, given where the world economy is at the moment and where it's heading.
He believes that after the nervousness over Iran passes, the oil price will fall further. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So gains today in Asia, but the news out of Iran did pare them back a bit. European shares are in positive territory. The drop in oil really helped Wall Street pick up some momentum yesterday. The Dow gained 152 points to 11,384. The Nasdaq was up 51 points, more than 2%, to 2294. The S&P 500 was up 21 to 1273. This week marks the 25th Sun Valley Conference for media titans. If you haven't heard of this thing, here's how it works. A New York investment bank called Allen & Company convenes the event in Idaho every year so the biggest names in media can hang out, schmooze, maybe even get a few deals going. But this year, the forecast may be a little cloudy in Sun Valley. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Another Sun Valley, another snapshot of Rupert Murdoch in shades or Barry Diller cycling around in shorts. But even if the moguls look relaxed this week, Porter Bibb of Media Tech Capital Partners says the business isn't making money the way it used to.
The media industry, almost all across the board, is in the dumper in a way that has never, ever been seen by the economy.
Like the media business itself, the annual gathering is due for a change, says Jeff Jarvis. He teaches journalism at the City University of New York.
I think it's time for Sun Valley Junior, the dawn of the geeks.
Jarvis says the moment has come for companies like news site Dig or networking site LinkedIn to take their place in the sun.
Some will become the next Facebook or the next Google or the next MySpace. And that's where the innovation is happening in media today.
But for now, these growing companies are still too small for their owners to warrant mogul status. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
It's a bridge giveaway in Arkansas. The state is trying to give away two highway bridges near Jonesboro. They're scheduled to be replaced. But since the bridges are eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, federal law requires the state to try and save them. The Crowley's Ridge Council of Girl Scouts may want one of them for their summer campground. The state will pick up moving expenses.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BrandWeek, the news organization dedicated to the information needs of strategic-minded marketing executives, with real-time coverage now searchable at brandweek.com. And by Clarkson Potters, the splendid table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
Talk about a looming global food shortage is a big part of this week's G8. Leaders of the world's wealthiest nations are meeting in Japan this week. They're promising more money for food aid. But as rising costs dissolve global relief budgets, some are calling for changes in the way that food aid is delivered. Their first target is the famed U.S. program, Food for Peace. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
At a refugee camp in northern Kenya, men sing as they unload white sacks of grain imprinted with the American flag. This dusty food distribution point is the final stop in a six-month journey from the American heartland, a journey many consider to be the crowning example of U.S. goodwill. But John Hoddenott with the International Food Policy Research Institute sees it as a missed opportunity.
And it's extraordinarily striking how clumsy and inefficient the American system is.
Hoddenott says special interests, not goodwill, are the main drivers of U.S. food aid. The U.S. is the world's largest food donor, with contributions exceeding $1 billion a year. But there's a catch. All of that food must be purchased from U.S. suppliers and shipped on U.S.-flagged carriers. That means in times of crisis, food can take up to 6 months to reach recipients. And the cost of shipping on U.S. carriers is the highest in the world. So
only about 40% of U.S. food aid actually goes on food.
All this has prompted calls for reform from the White House. It recently proposed funding food purchases closer to where crises occur. That protects local markets and buys more food for the money. But Paul Green with the North American Millers Association says the plan would backfire.
The real fear here is that we might see an unexpected and unintended outcome of far less resources rather than far more.
Green, whose members include agricultural giants ConAgra and Archer Daniels Midland, says cutting U.S. farmers out of the deal would also eliminate the food aid program's biggest supporters.
I dare say that without a constituency from the agriculture community, the chances of getting those appropriations would fairly disappear.
That argument has left U.S. food aid policy virtually unchanged for decades. But the International Food Policy Research Institute's John Hoddenott says everything else has changed. Rising food prices are swelling the ranks of the hungry and crippling the budgets of relief programs. He says every dollar wasted on keeping special interests happy is the difference between a meal and starvation for the world's poorest. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Comment on this story, drop us a line, and hear more from The Morning Report at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for tuning in. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.